I'm surprised that you are here. I'm surprised that you are not taken up to heaven. I'm surprised that you are still alive. Because after all, today is September 23, 2017, which is the day on which this earth was supposed to end, on which Christians are supposed to go up to heaven in a secret rapture. It was a day on which Planet X was supposed to destroy this planet. That's in accordance with all these geniuses of incredibly intelligent people who have come up with these ideas. Let me read to you from an article by The Telegraph from yesterday, dated September 22. Nibiru, conspiracy theorists about the end of the world have been circulating online for more than two decades, with the latest prophecy predicting the apocalypse on September 23, 2017. Planet X, or Nibiru, refers to a planet in our solar system that will supposedly crash into Earth and wipe out the human race. However, it has been consistently dismissed by experts as an internet hoax. But the conspirators don't care about hoax, they believe what they want to believe. And so the question is being asked here, how did conspiracy theories about Planet X start? Now listen carefully. Online chatter about Nibiru began back in 1995 when Wisconsin native Nancy Leader created an alien conspiracy website. Ms. Leader claims to be a conduit for aliens who have warned her about the Nibiru catastrophe. The conspiracy theory has not gone away, with David Mead claiming Planet X is heading in our direction. Mead, a quote-unquote Christian, believes that on September 23, 2017, the rapture will occur and a seven-year tribulation period of wide-scale natural disaster. So how come you're still here? How come the Earth is still standing? And so the question is asked, why September 23? It has been claimed as unusual celestial arrangements mirroring signs from the Bible's book of Revelation on September 23 will signal the start of the end of the world. However, there will be nothing unique about the sun, moon, and planets on that date. In the past 1,000 years, the same event has happened at least four times already. In 1827, 1483, 1293, and 1056. And so the week on September 21 added the following. A Christian conspiracy theorist named David Mead claims he discovered that the world will end on September 23 by combining Bible passages with astronomy, chiefly the total solar eclipse over the U.S. in August. And so that's what he said. Jesus lived for 33 years. Well, in fact, he actually lived for 33 and a half years. The name Elohim, which is the name of God to the Jews, was mentioned 33 times. That's a complete bogus statement. It's mentioned many, many more times than that. And so he said, September 23 will mark 33 days since the eclipse. So here we go. So his conclusion was, today is the day. September 23 is a day when a number of celestial bodies, including the sun, moon, and constellations of Virgo and Leo, all line up, so they say. Now, according to the article here, astronomers don't even agree how many stars officially make up Leo. Plus, this alignment happens for a couple days every September and October on every year. And then finally, Planet X was also supposed to collide with Earth in 2003. Didn't happen. But the funny thing is, Planet X doesn't even exist. It's something which is being invented. And so the article asks, apart from the fact that there is no such thing as Planet X or Planet Nibiru, what about the Anunnaki? Have you heard about the Anunnaki? How many of you have heard about the Anunnaki? I hadn't heard about the Anunnaki either, but you go to the internet and you find all kinds of nonsense. Millions upon millions of people believe in that, believe it or not. The article explains who the Anunnaki are. The Anunnaki are ancient space aliens that created the human race. These are the aliens who contacted Mrs. Leader when she started her website. So you hear this, you read this, you go on the internet and you look at some of those videos, you have to shake your head in unbelief. You have to say, how stupid, and I use the word on purpose, how stupid, how crazy, how brain damaged can people be who believe in this kind of nonsense? But there are lots of people who believe in it. They believe in all kinds of craziness, but they don't believe in the truth. You see, the danger is, none of that is going to come true, of course. First of all, there is no secret rapture, as we will see. There is no seven-year time of tribulation. Doesn't talk about that at all. 3.5 years at the most. There are no aliens, but there are creatures who are perhaps pretending to be aliens. And that's where the danger lies. So let's look into the Bible a little bit today and what the Bible has to say about heavenly signs, about the end of the world, about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I like to turn to a very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 24. Because at all times people want to know about these things, and so the disciples at the time of Christ were no exceptions. They wanted to know. And so here in Matthew 24, they came to Christ and they asked him certain things because Christ had just told them about the temple and the temple would be destroyed. And then in Matthew 24 and verse 3, it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? Talking about the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age or the end of the world? So they asked three questions. When will the temple be destroyed? Question number one. What is a sign of your coming? Question number two. What is a sign of the end of the age? Question number three. Three different questions. I like to focus on the last two today. What is a sign of Christ's coming? And what is a sign of the end of this present age? Now, Christ began to explain, beginning in verse 4, that there would be, if you turn to Revelation as a parallel passage, there would be four horsemen of the apocalypse. Four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are the first four signs written in the book of Revelation. Christ is talking about religious deception, the first horse being the white horse. He's talking about wars, the second horse, the red horse. He's talking about famine, the black horse. And then he's talking about disease epidemics, the pale horse. So these would be events which would be taking place. These four horsemen would be riding. But now notice what he says in Matthew 24 and verse 8. But all these, after he just talked about these different signs, if you please, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. Other translations have here, the beginning of birth pains, or the beginning of labor pains. It's being pictured here as a woman being pregnant. And then she ends up in labor pains. It lasts about, I'm told, 8 to 12 hours. labor pains before the birth takes place. Short time. Christ is saying, when you see these things happening with increasing strength, it's a short time. But it's still the beginning of sorrows. Because the next important event he describes beginning in verse 9, it's the beginning of the great tribulation. So after you have the beginnings of sorrows, the next important development, the great tribulation. What is the great tribulation? It's directed against the nations of Israel and Judah. It is a physical persecution, if you please. But it's also directed against spiritual Israelites, or a martyrdom of true Christians. The fifth seal in the book of Revelation. It's talking about those who will fall away from the truth, at least temporarily, those who need to be awakened, and some will have to go through great tribulation insofar as persecution is concerned, so that they wake up. But now we come to the sign of the end of the world, if you please, the end of the age, in Matthew 24 and verse 14. We all know this passage, Matthew 24, 14. I'd like to read it to you from the Revised English Bible. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the earth as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So here he is answering the question the disciples had asked him, when is the end going to come of this present evil age? Well, when you see the gospel being proclaimed in all the world, throughout the earth, as a testimony, as a witness, then the end will come. That is the sign of the end of the age, leading to the birth of church members in the kingdom of God. First you have the beginning of sorrows. Then you have ending it up with the birth. But then there is still one other question which he hadn't answered yet. What is the sign of his coming? Let's drop down to Matthew 24 and let's look at verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory." That is a sign of Christ's coming, when church members will be born again. But what exactly is that sign? Let's go back to chapter 24 and verse 27. Here we have the sign of his coming. "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." It's an coming which can be observed. The sign of his coming is a coming which is visible. They will see the Son of Man coming. In other words, it's not a secret rapture. It's not anything which is secret or hidden. That has nothing to do with the sign of his coming. It's a open, clearly visible coming. But you see what happens before that coming. We have talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We've talked about the great martyrdom, the great tribulation. What will happen after the great tribulation has begun and before he's going to return? Matthew 24 and verse 29. Notice this. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." These are, if you please, the heavenly signs Christ was talking about. You read about them in the book of Revelation. It's going to be the sixth seal. The sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6. Interesting. Revelation chapter 6 describes the sixth seal, amongst others, beginning in verse 12. Revelation 6, 12. "And I looked when he opened the sixth seal. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" In other words, those heavenly signs will occur after the great tribulation has begun and before that day of the Lord, that day of God's great wrath will begin. But how are we to understand those signs, those heavenly signs? I found this explanation by a German commentary, the Schlachter Bible, quite interesting. That's what they wrote. "The earthquake we just read about will be accompanied by numerous volcanic eruptions, so that a great amount of ashes and dust will be thrown into the earth's atmosphere. In this way, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will have a blood-red color. The stars are massive rains of asteroids and meteorites." It's interesting that the book of Joel tells us something very similar when it comes to the heavenly signs, the real heavenly signs Christ is talking about, not those deceitful, nonsensical signs some people come up with. Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." Again, we have the following time sequence. First, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, then the great tribulation, then the heavenly signs, then the day of the Lord. And we have to understand the four horsemen of the apocalypse keep on riding. They don't stop riding when the great tribulation starts. They keep on riding until the very end. When the great tribulation starts, it doesn't stop. When the heavenly signs begin, the great tribulation continues all the way up until the end. Heavenly signs, same thing. But the point is, that's when they start. The point is, they haven't started yet. The point is, the great tribulation hasn't started yet. That's why all of this speculation, all of these conspiracy theories regarding Planet X and Nibiru and Anuka and all that's called, it's all nonsense. It is blatant, complete, utter nonsense. Of course, people don't understand the Bible. That's why. But in Joel chapter 2 and in verse 10, another relationship is shown between some event and those heavenly signs. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. "The earth quakes before them." Joel is talking about a mighty army. Armies creating terrible chaos through unspeakably gruesome weapons. It says, "The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" So we see the connection here between those heavenly signs and the darkness on the one hand, and the effects of weapons of war on the other hand. That's how these heavenly signs, in a sense, are caused. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 2, you find the same connection. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, "He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. That's why the sun is going to be darkened. That's why the moon is going to have a blood red color, because of the events which are taking place here on this earth, having an effect on the atmosphere, having an effect on how the world can look at what is happening in the heavens. And of course, then you do have the meteorites and the asteroids, and you have other powers of heaven which will be shaken. It will be a terrible time. Nothing in comparison with what some of these people talk about Planet X, which of course doesn't happen because Planet X doesn't exist, and some of the other alien ideas, which don't exist either, those aliens I'm talking about. Now, these are the heavenly signs which Christ mentioned. Again, they will appear after the great tribulation has begun, not before. What people are talking about now are either false signs or just no signs at all. But they are derived from the foolish imaginations of their deceived hearts. And, yes, they might be influenced by demons, because the idea that there is a Planet X, that there are these aliens who have created people and who are now in the process of destroying those whom they created, that is clearly, absolutely, not only blasphemous, that's demonic. And so you have to conclude that the people, like this so-called Christian person, this conspiratory theorist guy, or this lady, that they have been demonically inspired. There is no question in my mind. And so those people who bring these programs on the internet and those who believe it, they are being deceived. Probably they are inspired too, at least some of them, by demons. Those who believe in aliens, I mean, there are no aliens, but there are demons pretending to be aliens. It's a terrible thing. But the problem is this. These imagined signs or false signs, they have no connection to the end of the world, to the coming of Christ. But they will lead to further confusion. They will lead to further deception, so that people will become totally disinterested in the truth after all. Oh, you have been saying this before. You know, Christ is not going to come back anytime soon. Oh, there's not going to be any real heavenly sign. In other words, there's no catastrophe, because you have been saying these things all along. But the Great Tribulation is going to come. In fact, it is the next big prophetic event. And it will begin after the beast has been manifested on this earth in Europe. Because, you see, it is the beast which or who will usher in the Great Tribulation. So you know that when that individual, that charismatic, political, economic, military leader will arise. And that happens. The Bible says he will only rule for 1 hour. It will be a very short time. And he will, shortly after his arrival, create, is responsible for, the Great Tribulation, the war between Europe against the United States, England, Great Britain, Canada, Australia. And at the same time, the martyrdom of the saints. He's going to be responsible for that too. So let's not kid ourselves thinking that because there are some plain, stupid, foolish people who talk about Planet X and all this nonsense, that therefore what the Bible says is not going to take place, because it's going to take place. And it will happen in the not-too-distant future. We are living right now in the time of the beginning of sorrows, or labor. And in real life, that will only take a few hours. So it doesn't appear that we have an awful lot of time left. Before I close, let me just refer you to a booklet, Angels, Demons, and the Spirit World, which we have published a while back. We have now a video promoting it as well. This book that explains to you where this false belief of aliens comes from. You see, it's demons who are behind it. And you don't want to be in any way, shape, or matter, or form involved in this nonsense. But let's turn, please, with me in conclusion to Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12, and let's look at verse 25. Because notice what God is telling us. Ezekiel 12 and verse 25. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. And again, in verse 28, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed any more, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God, and they will be done shortly.